Good morning. It's good to be back. It's good to be minus an appendix. That thing was being ornery. You know, I say so often that you probably don't believe me that being in worship with you is good. And there's nothing like being in a community of worship. There's nothing like being in a place of people who are getting to know each other. People who are coming to this place to lay aside whatever work week you've had, whatever stresses, whatever burdens, and you've come to this place to rest and proclaim with the people of God that God wins in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so, it's so good to be with you, and I just looking around today, I'm thankful for all the people that just give of their time, even just on this Sunday morning. Look, the church is bigger than worship. What we're doing here today is resting and worshiping, but I'm nonetheless thankful for our volunteers who help us to worship. Jeff Sutton's in the back, Greg Binder, Greg Moran, give them a round of applause. Who are our ushers today? We have Holly Moore in the back, we got Chris Kelly. Give them a round of applause. Jake Zadney for powering through over here. He had to come up here on stage. He made it through and gave us some good scripture. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for all of you. Give yourselves a round of applause. So before I get started, I want to share with you a scripture that is on my heart this morning that, you know, as I come to this space, I had read through the Psalms recently, and this is one of the ones at the end that will figure into the message, but more it's just one I want to share with you. A couple things before you hear this. First of all, keep in mind that the Psalms, Psalm is a word that means, it's the word tehillim, which means praise, hymns of praise. And yet, the biggest category of the Psalm, as we've said before, is lament. So the psalmist has to move through lament, or in fact, be in his lament to find praise. And so when the psalmist writes these high and mighty songs of praise, they grow out of desperation, lost, hurt. That's one thing you need to know about this psalm. The other thing is that he's going to talk about the God of Jacob here at the end. Who is Jacob again? Jacob is the namesake of God's people. Way back in Genesis, Jacob is the guy who is on a journey, and he's getting ready to cross a creek with his family, and everybody had crossed with their stuff, and yet Jacob encountered this divine figure and wrestled throughout the night. And Jacob said to that figure, "I'm not leaving here until you bless me," saying, "I can't go any further unless your blessing is upon me." And he was blessed, and he had a new name, Israel, which means one who wrestles. So God's people are God wrestlers. We wrestle with God and lament, but we praise in the end. So listen to this, Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals in whom there's no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are, blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. God, as we dig into your word today, may we wrestle. May we not go around our laments and our burdens, but may we sit with them. and listen and look for you in the midst of them. Be with us today. Anoint us with new life. In the name of Jesus, amen. So here's what I'd like to start off with today. You might be surprised. I'm going to ask you to get out your cell phones if you have them. Well, if you have Twitter. If you don't have Twitter, I want you to twiddle your thumbs for a while. It's okay that you don't have Twitter. In fact, you're probably blessed for it. So if you have Twitter, who has Twitter on their phone? Can you help me out? What's trending right now? Just throw out some stuff that's trending. Do you know how to find what's trending? Steph Curry. What was that? Fuller House. I'm going to come out a little bit so you can hear me. Thanks, Chad. Anybody else trending? What? The Oscars is trending. Peyton Manning's trending right now. What else? This has basically nothing to do with the sermon, so it's very low stakes here. Anything else? What was that? Joe, give me a second. I get back here to hear this. What is it?
Rejected Broadway Place.
Rejected Broadway Place. I don't know what that is.
Projected.
Rejected Broadway plays. Thanks, Joe. My bad, man. So, look, there really wasn't any point to that other than I noticed that with like something like Twitter, we can get this instantaneous, perhaps non-representative pulse of the world. Unfortunately, you see what trends, you know, like... Now, sometimes it's good things, but I'm always interested to see what's trending. If you can stop twiddling your thumbs now if you don't have Twitter. I'm interested to see what's trending. And I remember one time, as I was looking over the passage we're going to look at today, I remember one time where I saw this blessed trending. Hashtag blessed. If you don't know what a hashtag is, go to somebody after the service who looks like they know and ask them. Hopefully they know. Anyways, it's just basically what people are talking about. So earlier in this week, I searched how people were using that. So when you search it in Twitter, you can see everybody who uses that little pound sign, blessed. Okay? So here's what I came up with. Jeff, just start with go to the other slides first, not that one. That one here. First, I found it's a perfectly beautiful day. And you see all that. Lucky pup, love, pink friends, happy princess of Beverly Hills. It's a nice looking dog. Blessed. Just received an offer from the University of Idaho. Blessed. Go Vandals. Stay on that one for a second, Jeff. I saw a lot of these because it was like commitment time in college football. Right? Everyone's nodding your heads. You college football experts, you. And so a lot of people, they'd received offers to have a scholarship. And so they were putting this up, hashtag blessed. Next one, Jeff, thank you. This one was a little weird for me. Praise God, the good news message is getting out. Sales of my book are growing. What? Okay. Hashtag blessed. I don't remember why that one came up at the time. I knew why, but I'm not sure exactly. But he may have set that up as a promotion thing. Next slide. This one just says, wet dog or cat, no smell. Blessed. Hashtag blessed. Low standards on that one. Okay, next one. Finally, this one's not funny. A little scary, right? I legitimately Ubered the gunman that was on loose in Kalamazoo last night. Glad I canceled this. Hashtag blessed. All right, go back to that entry, the image, Jeff. Or sorry, the road less traveled. Go to that image. We'll go back to that. I like her too. just the road less traveled or whatever. There we go, perfect. So here's the thing. Look, that is a non-representative sample of how we use blessed, right? I don't know. And I don't mean to levy any judgments against these people. I don't know them. But what it did make me think, and it's a question I'd throw into your court, is where are we looking and listening for God? Where are we looking and listening for God, God's blessedness? You know, what I saw in these things, and I think it's a pretty common trend. By the way, we've talked about this question before. A few years ago, we did a series called A King's Questions. We looked at the Psalms. And one week we asked, who's happy? Happy and blessed are kind of interchangeable. So where are we looking and listening for God? What I noticed in these is a lot of times what we do is we associate blessedness with circumstances. You know, something has happened to us and or for us, perhaps caused to happen to us or for us in the positive direction, and that's blessedness. Implicit in that, sometimes you saw it in there, is that sometimes it's even something has happened to us and for us and not to and for somebody else. You know, implied in that is I got an offer for a scholarship. Somebody out there didn't. Now, that's not that guy's fault. He should be happy about that. I'm not mad at him for it. I saw the reverse, too. You saw this with the guy who tweeted about the Kalamazoo situation. Sometimes, blessedness to us is the other direction. It's something that did not happen to us, that did happen to somebody else. Hashtag blessed. So it's like some positive circumstantial thing. I even saw one that wasn't up there, some student in college. Like there were 1,000 students who were so happy that classes got canceled because they didn't have to take exams, and they hashtag blessed on that thing. Which, you know, I probably would have done the same thing. But again, it's about circumstances, right? And especially positive ones. And here's back to that question, where are we listening and looking for God? If we're only listening and looking for God in positive circumstances, if we're only looking for God in circumstances, but especially positive ones, you know, the promotions, the raises, the retirement speeches, the births and the birthdays, if we're only looking for God and God's blessedness there, we will miss God. We will miss God. We will miss, I'm convinced, 99.9% of God. Why do I say that? Because, friends, God is a God of the heartbreak. God is in the heartbreak. Jesus is proof of it. Jesus is God incarnate in the heartbreak. Jesus is God incarnate in scandal. When all is lost, find him there, as we just sang. That is who Jesus is. Jesus is the presence of God. Come to us in the heartbreak, the failure, the loss. That is where God is. And if we look and listen for God there, we will find him. And we will find blessedness of epic proportions. So I decided to act on our current Twitter account. I acted like Jesus took over our Twitter account. Look, Jesus Christ really doesn't have a Twitter account. You get that, right? There are a couple people who are acting like Jesus on Twitter, and they're kind of funny. But go to that now. Here's how Jesus would say it. Start from the bottom and go up. This is in Matthew chapter 5, if you're curious. The poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Hashtag blessed. Those who mourn, they will be comforted. Blessed. The meek, they will inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. The merciful, they will receive mercy. The pure in heart, they will see God. And the one you can't see on there, the peacemakers, they will be called children of God. Is that how we use blessed? What do you think? We just started a series. You can keep that up if you want, Jeff. We started a series called The Road Less Traveled a couple weeks ago. And the basic idea of the series is that when I was in Israel and I looked upon the land, especially from elevations, it occurred to me that Jesus went out of his ways and onto off-beaten paths to shell out and unleash salvation. He walked geographical roads that nobody else would travel. He walked into burdensome situations that nobody wanted to go into, but he went into it willingly. And he did so to carve out a new road. I said the first week, like Robert Frost says, two roads diverged in a wood, something like that. I took the road less traveled, and it's made all the difference. Jesus, if we were talking about him, we would say, two roads diverge, and Jesus carved out a third. Jesus walked into burdensome places and carved out a new path of hope, a new path of blessedness. And so obviously Jesus didn't use his Twitter account to speak this. He walked somewhere to speak it. So now to show you that, I need you to get out your trusty Bible here. And I need you to go to basically the book of Matthew. So that's page 1 of the Second Testament, the part of the Bible that deals with Jesus' ministry, his life, his death, his resurrection. Are you to a page that says Matthew on it? Can you nod when you're there? Can you help me out knowing you're there? Thank you. Do you see a map on the left-hand side? Yeah, great. So Jesus didn't use his Twitter account. He walked somewhere to speak these words. You got to remember, in chapter 4, Jesus, do you see the Dead Sea? Look on your map. Do you see the Dead Sea? Nod when you're there. And you got to help me out. I can't read your minds. Jesus was baptized down by on the Jordan River, down by the Dead Sea. And then he went into the Judean wilderness, which was just a little bit to the west there, northwest. And after that, it's like if Jesus was going to deliver these earth-shattering words, right? He's going to challenge the religious establishment. He's going to unleash this kingdom of heaven for which he's been sent. Where might he go to do that if he really wanted to be efficient about it? There's a little town just to the left. It's a town by the name of Jerusalem. It's the religious capital of the world. And if Jesus wanted to get to business, he'd just go over to Jerusalem and say these words, and it would have ruffled feathers. That's really all he needed to do, was upset the religious establishment as he wanted to do. He could have just gone a few miles to the west. He would have been in Jerusalem, and there you go. But what does Jesus do instead? He goes north. You see that little body of water to the north, which is called what? The Sea of Galilee. Actually, freshwater lake, by the way, if you're ever on Jeopardy. So he goes north. It's like a 30, 40, 50-mile journey. He goes north. Why on earth would he go north? That's his hometown. That's where he grew up. It's a backwater set of ghettos. He travels up that way. And you find in chapter 4, flip over to the big number 4 in your little Gospel of Matthew there. It's on page 3. On page 3, you'll see Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. Go down to verse 16 in chapter 4. This is a fulfillment of prophecy, what's happening. Jesus said, it says, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." If you didn't catch it, that is Galilee. The prophet said that place is a place of darkness. It is a region covered with death. It is a mob of heartbreak. Think about some of our stressed cities right now. Some of the places that right now, if I said, what's the roughest place in Indianapolis? You'd come up with some places. But of course, you also know that that poverty is right here in our own Hamilton County, is it not? Jesus walked to the place where the heartbreak was concentrated. He made a long journey to get there. And he goes into this mob and says that. He gets into this mob of people. He retreats to an elevation. I have a slide for that, Jeff. Here it is. Everything's on our Twitter today. Look, it's an unapologetic advertisement for the current Twitter. That is what's called the Mount of Beatitudes that overlooks the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus journeyed there. He had been in a mob of people. A mob of people who, including his disciples, if they were anything like statistics, they had lost children. About everybody. Even in pregnancy. Some people weren't able to have kids. Did you know they didn't have the medical advances we now have? Did you know that? Most of them, pretty much all of them, couldn't read. They scrambled. They struggled every day to have bread. It was the place of darkness. And Jesus goes there and he says, now you can follow with me in chapter 5. I'm going to ask you to say the first line, that first word, each verse. So for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, you just say that first word and I'll read the rest of it. So go ahead. Are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Jesus goes into a mob of heartbreak. And he retreats with his disciples and tells them that. Now, let's talk about the trouble for a minute. You can put your Bibles away unless you want to just hang out with them, which would be a very cool thing to do. Imagine sitting in the disciples' shoes here for a second. Here's the trouble with what Jesus has just said. First of all, if you're the disciples, if I'm there, I'm sitting on that elevation right there, and I'm doing this. You know when you're listening to somebody, but you're not really listening to somebody? You never do that, do you? Where you're just nodding and going, Especially when you're in class. I remember I was in a lecture one time, and a guy was playing games on his computer while the professor was lecturing, and every now and again he'd go, and just go right back. And I was like, that's well played. If I'm the disciples here, I'm doing this. Ooh, that's good, Jesus. That's good. We need to get out of here. He's not there. Keep going, Jesus. This is really good stuff. Guys, we need to leave as soon as we can because he's crazy. Jesus. Come on. They would have heard this and thought he was nuts. Do you know why? Their ancestors for years before had heard people like you are cursed. The people who lose and experience death, who are poor, who don't have provision, the people who are suffering with illness, those people must have some sort of curse from God. They had heard that for centuries. And now here was this guy before them saying, hey, you're blessed. And you might say to yourself, well, Ross, Jesus is often exaggerating. He says, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your right arm causes you to sin, cut it off. He's exaggerating, Ross. Ross, Jesus is always using figures of speech to bring a point across. He's doing that now. Friends, I've had 2 weeks to consider this chapter. By the way, what did you give up for Lent? I gave up my appendix. I had 2 weeks to consider this because I was going to preach on it 2 weeks ago. Who's had their appendix out? Feels good, doesn't it? No. You feel like someone's slowly running a sword through your belly. And I'm thinking about these words. And I have to tell you that the Spirit of the Lord tells me that Jesus means exactly what he says here. No figure of speech, no exaggeration. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Jesus means what he's saying here. He means it to the point. Jesus went into heartbreak to proclaim blessedness in and over the heartbroken. And this is Jesus' attempt to get us to consider for a minute. To get us to consider for a minute, for a lifetime, if we don't look for God in the heartbreak, we will not know God. But if we look for God in the heartbreak, if we somehow reach out to God in our moments of pain, in our moments of loss, in our failures, our divorces, our miscarriages, our addictions, if we reach out for God there, all of a sudden blessedness will well up from deep within. Why? Because the image of God is stamped in your heart. And in hard times, you find that. Jesus says, blessed are you when you're there. This is Jesus' attempt to get us to start looking and listening for God in the mess. Our own mess and in the mess of others. Because blessedness is there. Blessedness is not circumstantial, friends. Blessedness is knowing God. Period. It's like the psalmist says, blessed are those whose God is the God of Jacob. The God who allows you to wrestle, encourages it, and blesses you on your journey going forward from it. Blessedness is knowing God, knowing the presence of God, and knowing that when you have the presence of God, nothing can separate you from God. Not death nor life, angels or demons, there's nothing that can separate you from the presence of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessedness is knowing God and partnering with God in the work of grace. Grace is a free gift of love. You don't earn it, but God declares you worthy of it nonetheless. Blessedness is believing, knowing, and partnering with God because God is in the heartbreak. And so as I thought about this, I just wanted to I wanted to rephrase it in some contemporary language that might get us thinking. Some things that I just jotted down that I thought about some people in my life that I'm looking for this. And here they are. God isn't just in the births. God is in the miscarriages. God isn't just with the recovering addicts. God is hopeful alongside the active addicts. God isn't with the people who have arrived in religion. The people telling everybody else what disasters God caused and why. The people who know how to pray and read Scripture. The people who fast for 40 days and 40 nights and tell everyone about it. God is in the hungering and the thirsting for righteousness. In the situation where a humbled person says, I could be wrong and I don't know, and God, teach me how to pray, how to read, how to help, how to be merciful as you've been merciful, how to let peace begin with me, how to have a pure heart. And now I'll throw it back to Jesus because he always gets it right. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The other ones say, blessed are so-and-so, for they will. In this case, Jesus says, blessed are the hopeless, the poor in spirit, for theirs is. Right now, Jesus says, God is working out the renewal of suffering, right here and right now. It's not a consolation prize, it's a reality. That in the suffering, God is there working out renewal right now. And if we don't look and listen for God there, we will miss it. So here are my closing words for you today. Every one of you in this room is blessed. Amen. Every one of you is blessed. The image of God is running through your bloodstream. The redemption of our Lord is in there. And you are blessed to be a blessing. And if you believe that, you will continue to wake up to that, what hashtag blessed really means. Today I'm not telling you to give up saying hashtag blessed in the good times. God is there too. Every time we have joy, joy of a new birth, joy of a promotion, it is a foretaste of heaven, is an entrusting. God is giving us something to build the kingdom of God. May you say blessed there. But may we also look and listen for God in the hard times. It's a spiritual discipline, folks, much like praying and reading Scripture. You don't get it in the talking about it. You get it in the doing it. When you're hurting and you cry out and you say, God, help me, you're practicing it. It takes discipline to do this, to look and listen for God in the heartbreak. But may you do it for a lifetime. May you do it alongside others. May you unveil this good work of Jesus Christ that has started and that will be completed, because the good news is this, friends, the work of renewal that Jesus has started will be finished. And we will all say blessedness and hallelujah one day. Let us pray. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I am. God, you are with us. You are with us, and we give you thanks. Give us strength, courage, your very own Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to look and listen for you in our valleys, in our darkness, because we believe there will be light. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.